Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The 11th station of the cross. As we within the cathedral move with the priest from the 10th to the 11th station, we see that Jesus has been stripped of his garments. The executioners have thrown him down on the cross. His arms are outstretched to receive the spikes through the wrists. Another soldier crosses the feet and reaches for the hammer with which to pierce them to the beam. At the thought of the further pain he is about to undergo, our feet burn and our hands tremble.
We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee,
because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world.
Consider how Jesus, after being thrown on the cross, extended his hands and offered to his eternal Father the sacrifice of his life for our salvation. These barbarians fastened him with nails, and then, raising the cross, leave him to die with anguish on this infamous gibbet.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Finished. Lift them up and secure the beams.
He is not the Christ!
No!
He's on the cross!
They placed the crosses firmly in the ground, with Jesus between the two thieves. And when this happened, many were dismayed, for they had anticipated that Jesus would call on God to send angels to save him, and not let him suffer the pagan crucifixion. And many left Golgotha and returned to their homes. But there were some who remained, that they might comfort Jesus and bury him when he was dead.
Stand back. You women and others will have to stand at a distance. Stay there. Come no closer. Guards, gather up his clothing. You can divide it among yourselves as you wish.
Pray
precious few are with him now. Where are those who followed him into Jerusalem a few days ago, waving palm leaves and shouting hosannas? What was it he said as they drove in the spikes?
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Yes, yes, forgive them. That was it, while the two thieves cursed us roundly. I don't like it. I'd rather he had done the same. No man before has ever asked to be forgiven for crucifying him. I will never understand why Pilate was so weak and wavering throughout the hearing. Ah, those priests and scribes. They outwitted Pilate. Here comes one of them now.
Centurion.
Yes? How long will it take? The nailing? 3 minutes?
No. How long for him to die?
How should I know? Not too long. The man is half dead already.
He must be dead before the Sabbath begins.
He'll be dead by then. If not before.
He must be taken down, too. For it's not lawful for a man to hang on the gibbet during the Sabbath.
That's not my affair.
You're in charge of the execution.
I was told to put him on the cross by Pilate. Not when to take him down.
But it's not lawful.
I have my orders. For anything further, you will have to take it up with Pilate.
But if you do
not...
Be
still! The man is trying to speak. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Roman dog. When the Messiah does come, you'll feel his anger if you're about. When Israel rises and becomes the judge of all nations of the earth, Rome will feel our wrath for insults and degradations heaped upon us. What was it Jesus said? Forgive them, they know not what they do. Well, I must say it was generous of him. There have been times when I confess I've had an admiration for the man. For his knowledge of the scripture and his answers to us. Like those times we tried to trap him with questions.
Is it dangerous? Try Horeb Stoneheart!
Wait! Of course we'll take her to the Sanhedrin for trial, but first we'll take her to Jesus. Ah, you wonder why. He's preaching to the people, and he makes much of forgiveness of sin. We'll put the question to him, should she be stoned? And if he says no, he goes against the law of Moses. If he says yes, then the people will discount his forgiveness and know him for a humbug.
I am the light of the world. He who follows me does not walk in darkness.
Rabbi. Master, this woman has just now been caught in adultery, and in the law Moses commanded us to stone such persons. What therefore dost thou say? Ah, you choose to write in the sand, but not to answer us. I repeat, what dost thou say to us who obey the law? Should not this woman be stoned by us?
Let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone.
Who will be first?
You, Scribe!
Where's the witness against her?
Woman, where are they?
They're gone, my lord.
Has no one condemned thee?
No one, my lord.
Neither will I condemn thee. Go thy way, and from now sin no more.
This time we'll get him.
When there's a crowd about him, we'll ask him if it's lawful to pay tribute to Caesar. If he says yes, the people will hate him, for no Jew relishes paying tribute to the Roman. But if he says no, then we can go to Pilate, who will arrest him for treason.
Good. Good. I can't escape now.
Master, we know thou art truthful. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?
Why do you test me, you hypocrites?
Oh, no, Master. In all good faith we put the question, knowing thou art truthful.
Show me a coin of the tribute.
Here, this is a denarius.
Whose are this image and this inscription?
Caesar's.
Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.
Cast the first stone. Render to God the things that are God's. Small wonder we slunk away with silent tongues. I felt like a foolish schoolboy who would try to play a feeble trick on his teacher. It's easy now to see why many followed, aside from the miracles which would attract the credulous. But now he's firmly nailed to the cross, we've nothing to fear.
You, scribe! There's no point lingering. I told you to go to Pilate if you wanted anything further.
I shall.
Soldier, don't forget the sign.
Centurion, you're not going to put that sign on the cross?
I am.
Isn't it enough it was carried through the streets? You know it's false. Pilate knows it.
Nonetheless, it goes in place. So others will not try to be king of the Jews.
I go and I'll report your insolence.
Antonius, come here, please.
Now that they're raised, and only a few people are about, there's nothing much to do until they die. I think that's his mother standing over there with a few friends, and they won't give any trouble. I'm going home for a while, but if there's any need, do not hesitate to send a messenger. Otherwise, I will be back within the hour.
After Veronica, Marcus' wife, gave Jesus her veil, with which to wipe the blood and grime from his face, and he had passed by, she remained kneeling in the dust. Her servant reached down and helped her to her feet, and the two women went home. Marcus, returning from Golgotha, found her in the garden, and he knew she had been weeping.
Marcus? Is that you?
I left Antonius in charge. I wanted to talk to you.
About what I did this morning?
It was foolhardy, Veronica.
I suppose it was.
Oh, I know how much you hoped Jesus might cure you. And I even agreed you ought to go. But in secret.
Marcus, I didn't go to him to ask for a cure.
No? Then why did you make a spectacle of yourself and endanger my position?
It's true. But when I heard he was condemned, I wanted to see him. When I got to the street, your men were prodding him with their spears to make him hurry.
My soldiers had their orders.
As you had yours, Marcus. I'm not blaming you or them for what happened. I know you and they had to obey.
Thank you for that.
But the man was blinded by his own blood. He was staggering from one side of the street to the other. I couldn't stand it. I gave him a cloth with which to wipe the blood and grime from his eyes so that he could see. To see the way to his death. It was pity for a suffering man, that's all. I couldn't help what I did. You had to obey orders. I had to obey my impulse.
But, Veronica, you are not well yourself. You had no right to overtax your strength. And on such a hot day, too.
The strange thing about it is, I don't feel tired.
You're still under the excitement. And when that wears off, you'll pay for your uncalled-for exertion.
You know, on the way to Jesus, I was almost running. The servant had a hard time keeping up with me.
Are you sure you feel all right now?
I think so. At least I didn't have to lie down when I returned, and I usually do, even after a short walk.
Hmm. Well, we'll say no more about it. So much has happened, your little act of kindness may be overlooked and won't get back to Pilate. Oh, now, what is this doing here?
What, Marcus?
This dirty cloth.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm afraid that's my veil.
The one I brought back from Tarsus?
Yes, it was the only thing I had when I...
Veronica, this came all the way from India. And if you knew what I paid for...
I'll always treasure it because you gave it to me. But, my dear husband, it didn't come from India. And whoever sold it to you for an Indian veil...
I picked it up from an old woman in Tarsus. It was the only one of its kind.
Marcus, I love you for wanting to buy me unusual things. But these veils are on sale here in Jerusalem. They're woven in a small village in Judea.
How much do they cost?
Well, Hester bought one for 10 denarii.
10 denarii? Oh, wait until I get back to Tarsus. I'll take the flat of my sword to that old robber. No, I'll write to the captain.
Please don't. What you paid for it doesn't matter. You were thinking of me.
The old hag, I can see it now, asking me about my wife and my children, telling me I couldn't afford anything so fine, and I was taken in.
Marcus, must you go back to Golgotha?
Yes. I was anxious about you, so I left for an hour.
Was Jesus still alive when you left?
Yes.
If he could have died on the way, why did they have to flog him first and put that crown of thorns on his head?
The crown? Well, that's the ordinary soldier's idea of a joke. Oh, but I'm tired. Let's not talk about what's happened.
You're troubled too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
That I may have disgraced you?
Oh, no, that will blow over.
Then what is it?
It's Jesus.
You're only carrying out orders.
The commander can always fall back on that to justify any act. No matter how cruel, higher orders. The soldier obeys, no matter if the order violates every instinct of what is right or decent or just.
Marcus, you've never talked like this before.
I've never felt like this before.
Jesus has caused this?
Veronica, the man is innocent of any crime. Pilate himself acknowledged it.
And still ordered his death.
He got himself into a position where he had to condemn Jesus or go back on his word.
Then an innocent man's been crucified.
That's happened before. It will again. Judas gave the justification.
Judas?
Yes, the informer who led us to Jesus. Better one man die than the nation perish.
Even though he'd be innocent?
Judas left that word out. Though I am told he thought of it later and tried to return the blood money, then hanged himself, and the priests wouldn't take it back and ease his conscience.
And you're troubled, too, because you feel that Jesus is innocent.
No, not that at all. No, I say with Judas, it is better that one man perish, even an innocent man, than a nation perish. Even the man who has to pay the price would admit that and go willing to his death to save his nation. It may not be written down, but it is the law that preserves the nation and the people. The one must be sacrificed for the welfare of the many. You might say the gods themselves have decreed it.
Marcus, I don't understand you. You seem to feel sorrow for this man, and yet you think it right to slay him.
I say it sometimes has to happen. But what troubles me is not his innocence or his guilt, but what he said to us as my men were in the very act of driving the spikes through his feet and wrists.
He spoke?
Yes. Yes, he cried out, "Father, Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
He said, Father, forgive them?
Yes, so I heard it.
Father. Father, forgive them. Marcus.
Say it. What have they been saying about him? Let's rid our minds of whispered words and speak them out.
His Father is God. And he is the Son of God.
And do you wonder why I keep asking myself? What man can suffer what he has at our hands and still ask we be forgiven? Oh, that may be the messenger from Golgotha. Yes. Yes, tell Antonius I'm leaving at once. I must leave. Jesus is about to die and a crowd has gathered. Veronica, what's the matter?
A veil.
The veil? What do you mean?
I opened it up just now. Open it. And see.
Oh, the face of Jesus.
As I saw him a few hours ago.
The blood and the dirt came off on the veil to form the likeness.
Not a likeness as exact as that. It's a miracle.
Put it away. Let no one see it. I must go back to Golgotha.
No. No, don't go. Have nothing more to do with this.
I must go. It's more than orders and duty. I must see him before he dies.
Marcus hurried from his quarters near the Antonia to the street that led to the Ephraim Gate. It was the same street through which Christ had walked and fallen and walked again. A blotch of red mud marked the spot where he had fallen the first time. And Marcus carefully avoided it and was startled. He told himself he was tired from the long hours of duty. And he had only imagined he saw the likeness of Christ on the cloth. He would look at it again when his head was clear.
When you are weary as I am, you see all sorts of strange things. It's like seeing water in the desert when you're dying of thirst. Yes, you see what you want to see. But I did not want to see that face again. Ever. Veronica did. Perhaps she saw it clearly. Yes, that's it. Truly, it was but a grimy smudge. And when you looked at it closer, it became the face. As when you look at a cloud, and suddenly it seems to take on the resemblance of a huge face.
Centurion! Oh,
it's you.
Shouldn't you be on the hill?
Yes.
I sought you there, but your men refused to tell me where to find you.
When were you there?
I just left seeking you.
Is Jesus still alive?
Yes. That's why I wanted to find you.
Step along. I'm in a hurry.
Caiaphas has been to see Pilate. He has agreed that the prisoners must be dead before the Passover begins. Now, you will see to it.
Not on your say-so. When the order comes from Pilate, I will carry it out.
The order is waiting with your captain of the guard. If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross.
Antonius! Get them back! Use your sword if necessary! Get back! Let his relatives remain where they are! Arrest! Get back!
And it was now close to the ninth hour. and everyone could see that Jesus was dying. And those who did not believe in him were fearful. But the fear left them when they saw Jesus' head bowed on his chest, and they thought him dead. And they challenged him. His mother, standing close by, felt the cries in her heart. And she was sorry, both for her son and the people. For she alone knew the truth about him.
If he is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe him.
Aye, let him come down.
He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
Then the crowd was silent, for Jesus was not yet dead. His eyes rolled in their sockets, and he looked upon his mother standing with his disciple John. And the sorrow in her eyes was even as that in his own, as was the pain. Many were struck with fear and wished that they could recall their taunts and jeers. They felt great shame for their scribes and their elders and for themselves. It became so still that the rasping words Jesus spoke seemed as borne by thunder.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.